Okay, everybody ready? Good morning. Today, Lieutenant Governor Reynolds and I are pleased to share with you the schedule and speakers for the Governor's Bullying Prevention Summit to be held at Hy-Vee Hall in Des Moines on November 27th. We believe that we can and that we must do more to stand up against bullying in Iowa. At the summit, we will hear from state and national experts about how to combat bullying, both in person and online. These speakers include Dr. Paul Gosman, Superintendent of the Sioux City Schools, who will talk about community involvement. Our luncheon speaker is Rosalind Wiseman, whose book became the basis of the movie Mean Girls. Our first panel is 24/7 Bullying in the Digital Age. This discussion will be led by the CEO and President of the Internet Keep Safe Coalition. The next breakout session is entitled Schools in the Legal Twilight Zone and will feature various experts in the legal community, including Beth Townsend, our Director of the Iowa Civil Rights Commission. The afternoon's first breakout session is Sick from Bullying. Diana Schroeder, Director of Bullying Prevention Initiatives for the Center for Health Promotion and Disease Prevention at Winbur Research Institute in Winbur, Pennsylvania, will speak and moderate this panel discussion, followed by questions from the audience. The second afternoon breakout session will focus on the culture of mean and will be moderated by Barbara Coloroso, author of The Bullied, The Bully, and The Bystander. The final event that day will be a conference-wide discussion entitled Leaders Make the Difference and will be moderated by Iowa Public Television's Dean Borg, followed by questions from the audience. Education Director Jason Glass will conclude the event with a speech. As you can see, we have world-class experts who are joining us. This will be a wonderful environment to encourage and learn from each other. Iowans have a well-deserved reputation for friendliness and hospitality. Let's build on that tradition to put an end to bullying, because all children deserve to feel safe at school. And now I'm pleased to turn it over to Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds.
Well, good morning, and thank you, Governor Branstad. In conjunction with the Governor's Bullying Prevention Summit, the Governor and I are inviting all Iowa middle schoolers and high schools to submit a video about what their school is doing to prevent bullying and what more might be done. Each video should reflect the theme of preventing bullying in your school and beyond. The audience for the video will include students, teachers, school administrators, parents, and community leaders. Schools, parents, and businesses are encouraged to print out the flyer, which will be linked to the electronic version of today's press release. Students should use this as an opportunity to tell your school's story about how bullying is being stopped, what more might be done, and how to better engage the community as a whole in bullying prevention efforts. Videos that meet all contest guidelines will be posted on the Governor's YouTube channel, with the public invited to choose their favorite video between November 12th and November 21st. Guidelines may be found at preventbullying.iowa.gov. The Governor just named a number of significant voices who will be heard at the Bullying Prevention Summit, and we hope everyone will join those voices through this video contest. And at this time, we'd be glad to take your questions.
Governor, I have a question for you. As far as the Bullying Prevention Summit, we have coupled with that database that Iowa Public Schools launched. How effective do you think that would be in preventing bullying?
Well, we think it's an opportunity for people to get some good information from people that have had some experience in this area, share ideas. We also think there may be some thoughts about how we can strengthen Iowa's law and how we can better share information so that we can be more effective in preventing bullying.
In what ways would you start?
Well, there's a lot of question as to what authority schools have over things that occur on the internet. things like that. And I don't know that I have the answer for that exactly, but a lot of schools are kind of frustrated. Things that are happening, and some of the most severe bullying is now happening in social media, not necessarily on the school grounds. And so those are some of the kind of legal questions that will be discussed by that panel, and there may well be ideas on how the laws can be updated to deal with the new reality of the social media that we have today.
Part of the question with that is, can a school punish a kid for what he wrote on Facebook or Twitter right. or whatever? So is that something you think they should?
Well, we have had some discussions with the school administrators of Iowa. Lieutenant Governor and I were recently in Marshalltown and signed a petition what they're doing to try to combat bullying there. We had the superintendent from Sioux City who's going to be one of the presenters here at a previous press conference. So what we're trying to do is share this information, get as much as we can, and find out legally what can be done, what have other states done. So and this whole social network has just exploded over the last several years, and we want to make sure that we're doing all we can to provide a safe environment for Iowa students, both in what happens on the playground and school property, but also what happens when they're off the school grounds, when they're home at night, over social media.
Governor, is you're aware Congressman King has been very critical of schools recently and the federal government for being, I think he refers to it as the nannies, in terms of trying to exercise control that families and other people out in the community should do, and saying that there shouldn't be, he's talked about this in terms of school lunches recently. What is the How far should schools go? And as you're probably aware, there's a big controversy in the city of Des Moines where a coach made a kid, football coach made a kid run. That's something, as you know from your own athletics, that football coaches have always done.
Right.
And this coach has been suspended for 2 weeks now. How long, how far should the schools allow to be going? What's the proper role for parents here?
Well, it's a delicate balance. And let me say, this is focused on bullying. You've brought up some other issues that are really kind of separate. But I would just say, I think parents have a role to play as well. But a lot of times parents don't even know what's happening at school or is happening in social media. So we all have to work together. And we want to see that parents are actively involved in this as well, and that we recognize that parents have a great interest in seeing that their children are safe at school and that they're protected against bullying. And we want to make sure that the schools and the parents are all working together to provide the best and safest environment for all of our kids. We want everybody to be treated with respect and dignity. Yes, and we recognize that, and that's the reason why we need to get the best legal information we can have. But I will say this, there are First Amendment rights, and people have the right to say a lot of different things. But, your rights end where the other person's nose begins. So, and that's the reason why we've got to encourage people, both individuals and people in the media, not to repeat smear language, not to use derogatory terms against individuals or even against food or other products. And that's the kind of thing that I think is really wrong, when we have people that are purposely repeating things that they know are inaccurate, just designed to try to raise people's emotions or a dislike of a particular person or product. And that's the kind of thing that we want to combat. Well, I think the public has to be very careful in looking at and recognizing the situation that we're in. First of all, I think we're blessed to live in the United States of America, where we have the freedom of speech, but we also have a responsibility to use our freedoms and our rights in a responsible way. That's what my teacher taught me back in eighth grade. Rights that we have as citizens, guaranteed by the Bill of Rights, but also respect for other people and their rights and acting in a responsible way. And I guess that's the message that Lyra Seawick taught me. That's a message I've tried to live by. That's a message I want to try to communicate to others. We need to treat people with respect and dignity. That's what this conference, that's what this summit on bullying is all about. And we want to do our part. We want to lead by example, and we want to share good information so people can make good, thoughtful decisions, and we can prevent some of the tragedies that have occurred because of bullying. Well, first of all, I would say the President of the United States, that's the leader of our country, is the one that hasn't put together a plan to get this nation out of this massive debt that keeps piling up and just continues to ignore it. I was at the installation of a Vice President, of the new President of Iowa State University, Stephen Leith, and Erskine Bowles was there to introduce him. I had an opportunity to visit with him, and he is very concerned. He co-chaired along with former Senator Simpson, the Simpson-Bowles group that actually President Obama put together to come up with a plan to deal with this massive deficit. And then the President received the report, failed to act on it, failed to make any recommendations, and instead decided to just embark on this very divisive partisan attack approach that has spent all his time attacking and blaming other people and running a class warfare campaign. That's not leadership. Now, I believe that Governor Romney has made it clear that he will, number one, has a very substantial goal of creating 20 million jobs in this country, 12 million jobs, 12 million jobs, and reducing spending to below 20% of gross domestic product. I think it would be good for him to spell out more of the plans that he has. Now, he's made it clear that he wants to do this like Republican governors are doing by reducing spending, reducing the regulatory and tax burdens. And we've done that in this state and in Wisconsin and Michigan and Indiana. Contrast that to the present state of Illinois, where they haven't, and where they have the biggest budget, they have the biggest debt per capita of any state, most unfunded liabilities in their pension system, and they're $4 billion behind in paying their bills on time. So I think there is a clear contrast, and I think it would be helpful to continue to spell out more of the specifics, but I think the person that really deserves to be criticized for not having a plan is the President of the United States. He ran for president. At the time that he ran, he promised that he was going to reduce the deficit in half. Instead, it's gone up by more than $1 trillion every year he's been president. And let me tell you the thing that scares me even more, and Erskine Bowles and I talked about this, and that is Bernanke has kept interest rates rock bottom low. If interest rates were at their normal level, the cost of funding the federal debt annually, instead of being $250 billion, would be $650 billion. That's another $400 billion annually that this country is going to have to face. And at some point in time, we could well face a situation where inflation starts to take off, and we'll get to the point where it takes a bushel basket full of money, a bushel barrel full of money, just to pay for a loaf of bread. Well, I have confidence that he has the experience and the ability to put together a plan to indeed address this issue. And his background and experience, I saw what he did with the Olympics in Salt Lake City. They were mired in debt and corruption. He came in, straightened it out, and it was one of the most successful Olympics ever. I saw the job that he did as governor of Massachusetts, a tough liberal state with 85% Democrats control the legislature, but he was able to balance the budget and manage things there. And obviously he's had significant experience in the private sector in helping businesses create jobs and grow the private economy. And he recognizes it's not government, but it's private sector business and entrepreneurs that are going to create the jobs. And unlike the president, who derides the private sector business people and says it's more government that's done it. And frankly, I don't agree that the stimulus has been a success. I think it's been a disaster because it's given us all this debt, and the unemployment rate, which was never supposed to go above 8%, hasn't gone below 8% for more than 40 months. Yeah. Well, I guess I don't know the details of the contract they have with Anheuser-Busch, but I do think the universities do have contracts, you know, with the shoe companies and with Coca-Cola and with Anheuser-Busch. It doesn't surprise me. There's significant advertising benefit, and obviously the universities are looking for places they can raise money, but I think it needs to be done in a thoughtful and responsible way.
How about selling beer at Hawkeye?
Well, I think you got to be real careful about it. They've had a lot of drinking problems anyway, and obviously, you know, there's a lot of beer consumed in the parking lots before the game, so I don't know that you need to be selling it in the stadium. I'm confident that that company, the owner of which is a Coptic Christian, will follow through with the commitment they've made here. I obviously am concerned about the unrest that's going on all over the Middle East, the attacks against America, and to me it looks to be very clearly a very orchestrated thing that was timed to coincide with 9/11. And it shows that we cannot show weakness in dealing with the radical elements in the Al Qaeda and in the radical movements that are there in the Middle East. And the weaker we are, that are perceived to be, the more likely we're to face more and more of these kinds of dangerous attacks on our citizens. You bet. you know me pretty well. Well, first of all, let me say a little bit about that. You remember it was the Democratic Governors Association that spent $800,000 before I got the nomination trying to smear me as a liberal. Okay?
It didn't work.
And so not only that, this is the governor of Maryland that's raised taxes and driven business and jobs to Virginia. So if you follow what's happened, and while he's been governor, he's increased the top tax rate in their state, and Virginia has been the beneficiary of it. Bob McDonnell, who's been chair of the Republican Governors Association, I'd put him up against O'Malley any day. I guess he's a liberal, he's a big taxer, and obviously I think his views are way out of touch with the Midwest and with Iowa.
It doesn't move you any closer
to the real life. No. First of all, you know me well enough that I never react to the opponent's strategy. I always have my own timetable and agenda, and my focus is on Iowa. I love this state. I was elected to do this job, and the Lieutenant Governor and I are working as a team. And we're proud of what we've accomplished, but we know we have a lot more to do. Well, it's never easy on a case like that, but I just think when you have somebody that conducts a smear campaign, they know full well there's no health issues, and they purposely use language, and I will not use the term because I think it's inappropriate, because it conjures up all kinds of things that are inaccurate, and they're playing on people's lack of knowledge about food and food production and processing. That's the reason why I called the other governors, why we went to South Sioux and went through the factory to show this is the process that's used. It's safe. It's wholesome. It actually gives you a leaner product that is better for people. And for somebody to conduct a vicious smear campaign using derogatory language that they know is inaccurate, I think is wrong. And I think there ought to be consequences for that. Now, what's going to happen in the courts? I don't know, but I hope it makes other people think about the language they use and that they need to be careful to be honest and accurate with their descriptions and not use charged words and smear language.
Do you think this means BPI might be able to come back, or that
might be able to... it's already made some progress. First and foremost, since it was a campaign of smear and disinformation, as people get more facts and information, we're going to see, I think, more people coming back to use this product because, one, it is a safe product. Two, it is less expensive because of the process. What you do is you save meat that you know, is – what you do is you separate the fat from the lean, and you end up with a leaner product, which is really healthier for you than hamburger that's got more fat in it. And then also this – a puff of ammonia kills E. coli and other bacteria, so you protect the safety. And the USDA has always said it's been a safe product. So I guess my feeling is that I know a lawsuit is an expensive proposition, but I hope it does make people think before they just repeat inaccurate smear language. There is a responsibility on the part of journalists to be fair and accurate in their presentation of information.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you.